Good morning. Today is Thursday the 12th of October. No, it's not. Okay, it's in August. We still haven't gone to the fair. Life hasn't gone past that fast. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County District Attorney Maggie Fleming. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
All right. Now, you said you wanted to throw it at me, so bring it on, baby.
You know, Brian, it's just a sign of how tired I am of not being able to get these. And now I'm like, let me ask you one. So why do we say red tape?
Red tape was, oh, man. Now, if my memory was really functional, that was a question that we had asked earlier this year.
Was it?
Is it associated with the tag that the file had? Or the form? There was something with red.
There was a
real reason why red was the reference. The tape part, I'm a little foggier on. So that's as far as I go. Give me a third credit and I'll walk away smiling.
I'm going to give you a C+, B- on that one. So the story is Henry VIII sent 80 petitions to Pope Clement VII asking for his marriage to Catherine of Aragon to be annulled. The petitions are bound with red tape. The expression was popularized after the Civil War when veterans' records were bound in red tape and were difficult to access.
Civil War, yeah, okay. That was one. The other one, yeah. I've,
Well, there you go.
Yeah, somehow I might, well, we all know the Pope really didn't jump through the hoops for him. And there began the Church of England, right?
That's right. That is exactly right.
I knew that part. It was just the tape. Oh, gee. Oh. So with the new functional definition of county government these days, like the last four, changes in policy, protocols, procedures, or is it just kind of continuing with what you were doing before?
So we had just pretty successfully reopened up, and we were allowing the public back in the courtrooms. We were having sort of more normal proceedings, but then with our spike in numbers, we're sort of going back. So jury trials will be back on Zoom again, meaning they'd be on YouTube for individuals who like to follow those, but it means we're not allowed to bring the public in because the jurors are seated in the audience section. So that's kind of where we're at now. We're still plugging along, but just less access for the public.
So what was the, I don't want to say hit ratio because that kind of sounds more mafia than anything, but conversion ratio of jurors or citizens who are asked to serve converting to jurors before?
That's a really good question, Brian. I asked the judge that the other day because I was curious how we were doing. Before COVID ever started, we averaged at about 10% rate. So jurors summoned versus jurors showed up was about 1 in 10. Then
say that again? Nine people didn't show out of 10?
Yeah. So then during COVID last year, that went down to about 7%. And now with the new Delta variant and all of that, we're down to about 3%.
So that explains why we all get regular correspondence. If you're having to throw out 10 to get one to show up to possibly be in the pool.
Right.
And then another word I probably shouldn't use, but what's the washout rate once you get them into the building and you start going through that process?
I don't know. I know it's taking us longer to get a panel, which we like to start with about 60 people. Just because, you lose people with, they maybe know someone on the case or they can't serve for as long as maybe you need, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we always like to start with 60. So I don't know how many are washing out in the jury room before we actually get them into the courtroom.
So I'm wondering if perhaps if you put out 100 mailers, get you 10 of the 10, two or three?
Right, I would say so.
Okay, so I don't know, what is the postage bill? that would seem to be.
I don't know.
Yeah, good thing they've got bulk rates, huh? Holy cow.
Well, maybe we should just go to social media, just put it out. Hey, we need people for jury.
Yeah.
See how that goes.
Yeah, I bet you get feedback.
We do. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking with someone earlier this week, and they shared a business operator, so it may not be 100% analogous, but the amount of negative emails that they've been getting recently has gone up, not significantly, but noticeably.
Right.
Have you guys experienced anything akin to that in the office?
I don't know that they've gone up. It feels as though they've gotten a little more, just a little angrier, you know. I mean, generally, we're going to get some negative feedback. People are going to be disappointed that we're prosecuting someone they think shouldn't be prosecuted, or we're not prosecuting someone they think should be prosecuted. But the tenor has gotten a little bit angrier. And I think it is just people are not coping very well right now. And so we're just sort of seeing it across the board. I think I mentioned once before, although we had fewer cases last year, the level of violence went up.
Yeah, that would seem to play out with everything else that you hear that's going on. It just wound a little tighter, higher levels of stress, whatever phraseology you want to use. But it hasn't gotten into the arena where you're concerned about the aggressiveness of some of the words.
I think, you know, we're in our line of work, we're kind of always a little more aware of that potential, you know, just because we've watched it play out. So we're always cautious, you know. We make sure we sort of follow up on things, try to figure out who these people are that are saying these things to, you know, either our front person or to someone else in the office.
Yeah. And if they're known folks, okay. If it's something out of the blue, that's probably treated slightly different as well.
Right.
KINS, right. News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming. So, Maggie, what's on your palette of colors for the next couple of months here? I would suspect that the budget is not as grave a concern as what it has been in the past. So, does that mean you're going to be able to focus more on bad guys and good guys?
Yes, and you know it's a really good question, because I think, unlike so many other jobs, you sort of have in your mind what you're going to take on next, and then other things decide really what direction you're going to go. So more recently, you know, we've been focused on this EDD fraud that we've seen with our inmates. We're working through all of that. We have a couple cases now pending, but more to look at. And then also, I think I mentioned last time, the District Attorneys Association together did a Public Records Act on the Department of Corrections, our state prison system, to sort of learn more about how and who they were making decisions about and who was being released early, because that's obviously been a big problem that we've seen. So we've all now gotten those lists, and we're going through them to see who's reoffended and starting to go through those and sort of take that on, because I do think it's important for the community to understand it's not quite as simple as we believe the, you know, okay, this person's going to do 8 years and with his credits, he'll get out in 6.5 years. Instead, they're getting out of 3 or 4. and how we're going about to address that. So that's something we're going to, I've got to go through my list and start publicizing what we've seen locally. And those individuals who got out early and then, you know, promptly reoffended in our community, which is what we were concerned about to begin with.
Now, what about the situation with the governor turning that one individual loose? I guess it was last week, maybe? The guy that buried somebody alive?
Oh.
Was that one that you followed at all? I mean,
I didn't see that one. I guess I've been a little focused on our folks, but
no, that's okay.
Yeah,
but yeah. It was curious that that something like that that could cause such negative ripples would occur. How often does the governor either pardon or guys and gals that are on the real extreme end of the nasty spectrum get paroled?
So we attend, I think I mentioned this before, we have a deputy DA who's retired who attends all of our, they're called parole hearings, and he goes to all of those. And that's a really important responsibility because frequently victims' families want to go to those, and it's nice for them to have someone there who's speaking on their behalf. And someone who's very, very familiar with someone's prison records, because when the parole board or the governor is contemplating releasing someone, you should be really aware of what have they done while they've been incarcerated. Is this the person that we believe is ready to be returned to society? So it's pretty, I don't want to say it's routine, but it's pretty regular. We always have two or three a month. And then the governor obviously can look at those as well. What's fascinating, Brian, is that there's an organization that looks at individuals who have really turned their life around. So about 2 years ago, I started speaking with them because other DAs said to me, you know, you might want to talk with the woman who runs the organization. And I said, you know, absolutely. I'd like to look at inmates from Humboldt County who have served, you know, a significant amount of their sentence, who maybe we should be considering as someone who's turned their life around. Maybe, you know, they've addressed some of their problems and maybe they'd be eligible. And I think that's the appropriate way to do it, not this sort of let's go through and wave a wand and let out, you know, half of a population without really contemplating, are they ready? Have they altered their life such that we don't believe they're going to be a danger to society? So with that organization and that program, we actually, the legislative body has now chosen to fund that. Humboldt County is one of the individuals, one of the counties, that received some funding to look at those populations. And so we'll be going through that in the next year or so. But like I say, I think that's the way it should be done, you know, looking carefully at the individual and what they've accomplished while they've been incarcerated, rather than sort of having some sort of statistical number you want to hit and you let out that population, whether or not they've achieved those goals.
Sure, you don't want to let the bad guys out if they're still bad guys, but recidivism seems to be at such a high level. Does it tend to be higher for the more heinous crimes and criminal activity, or does it tend to be lesser in that area?
So that's an excellent question as far as the different categories. So what we do know is that frequently those we've seen for a long history, so repeat offenders tend to have a higher rate. I can't give you a good, you know, statistical analysis, but I will say this. In general, we know sex offenders have a higher recidivist rate. And then, like I say, those that we have seen over and over and over. So domestic violence offenders, people in those categories, we tend to know are higher risk. It's interesting because now they have this sort of elder rule, which they've moved to 50, which I can't believe that's now an elder, but because they seem to believe those are at lower risk. That's, again, not true. It depends on the nature of their crimes. You know, you don't need to be young and super fit to be a danger to children if you're a child molester.
Yeah,
if you know how to use a gun, you know, you're just as capable of committing murder at 55 or 60 as you were at 25 or 30.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Right. It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming. Maggie, in the past, and I don't know how far back because my memory kind of goes a little sideways, there used to be traffic courts, regional courts, municipal courts, superior courts. Things kind of got all blended in the name of efficiency and okay. But we don't have them out in the rurals like we used to. I remember like Corky Banducci used to have Fortuna, and John Morrison was in Southern Humboldt. Larry, oh shoot, what was Larry's last name? Had Arcata.
Right.
Oh shoot.
I only knew Judge Rollin up there, but yes.
Okay, yeah, Ron. Yeah. So you look at how the court system has changed. Are there things that are making it easier for folks to participate, or the specialized courts, is that making it more effective? What happened, and where are we now in that evolution of the court system in Humboldt County?
So one area that we've sort of expanded and that I try to sort of think more creatively with individuals is more courts aimed at trying to address what someone's issues are and then trying to move them out of the criminal justice system. So it's called diversion. We can do it pre-filing. So if I get a police report, you know, where I have someone who's, you know, elderly and has never committed a crime before, or they're young and they've never committed a crime before, you sort of try to think about, is this really someone I need to charge, you know, put a criminal charge on them? Or could we arrange diversion? Could we say, hey, Mr. Graffiti, you know, if you want to do 30 hours of cleanup with the city of Eureka, no criminal charges, and hopefully it'll teach you a little bit about this is a really negative thing to do to businesses who then have to clean it up.
So kind of like community service, in effect?
Yeah, so okay. we can do that, you know, prosecutors can do that pre-filing. We can also, once we charge someone, sometimes then, you know, they'll come forward and say, hey, I'm trying to enter college, or I'm trying to be an RN, or would you let me sort of wipe this away with diversion? And then we have programs for that. Where we're going right now that I think is phenomenal is a number of the tribes have tribal courts, and they would like to have tribal court diversion. So for those individuals who are tribal members, we'll be referring them to tribal court. Luckily, many of the tribes have a lot of resources so that they can help these people. You know, sometimes the issue is they're homeless, and so they're going to help with housing. They're going to try to adjust the circumstances that person's in the hopes that we won't see them committing any more crimes. So we've already had a couple. It's going to be a much more formal process here shortly. We're sort of working on the final pieces of that. It's taken us some time, but we're about to be there. And I think that's really going to help. And it'll also help, you know, obviously for those people who live in, you know, Hoopa or some of these other areas, that they don't have to drive to Eureka, you know, for their 3 minutes of court every couple of months. They'll be able to just go to the court that's right in their community to address their case.
So there's one anticipated in Hoopa. What about for the tribes in the southern part of the county? Is there going to be a parallel there also, or is Hoopa going to be the first example or first attempt, and then if that works, replicate it?
So it's actually Yurok that set it up first, so we have that going, and then we're sort of each tribe, though, is similarly, you know, setting up tribal courts. Right now they're primarily civil courts. But they're working on becoming both criminal and civil. So I know Bear Rivers got one running, Hoopa, Yurok, Trinidad, So yes, they're throughout the county. Each tribe is hoping. I believe Karuk's working on theirs as well. So it's really developing, and like I say, I think it's going to be a really, really good benefit to all the communities.
As you look at what it will be or what it has the potential of being, does that alleviate some of the pressures that you've got at the main courts also to increase the efficiencies there as well?
Right. That's correct. And, you know, Brian, it's a model that various, you know, sort of subgroups have always really tried to have. So, for example, veterans courts are really set up to help divert people away from the criminal justice system by providing them services. And when I first got elected, I approached the bench about, wouldn't it be great if we could have a veterans court? And I still hope we're going to have one someday, because there's a lot of services available, but for many of the veterans who are in the criminal justice system, they may not be aware of that. And so I recently had a case that involved a veteran, and luckily the chief of police sort of said to me, can we look at this one and see what we can do? Because this is someone who we've never, ever, ever seen, you know, commit a crime, and then sort of suddenly they've had some issues. So I'm going to reach out to talk to some of the folks who run the veterans programs to see if there's something they could do, and then we could divert him, you know, say no criminal charges if you follow through, you know, get these services and sort of try to adjust your lifestyle.
So this is done, Maggie, this is done in advance of the court, so you don't need to have a judge involved?
That's right. So that's kind of the amazing part, you know, with prosecutors, you know, when you think about the various responsibilities and sort of options we have. We probably divert people pre-filing, I don't know, maybe 10 to 12 a year. And it's a lot of times it's family reaches out to us. You know, you have the son who has sort of stepped off, you know, either because of drugs or because of mental health issues, who assaults their parent, right? So the police are called. It's, you know, it's a very serious case. And then a lot of times that's the case where the parents call me and they say, you know, our son's in custody. We know what the issues are. We believe we can get him the help he needs. Please don't charge him. We don't want him sitting in jail. Can you do something? You know, and then I say, sure, let's set up a plan. And then we make arrangements. But the key is, you know, obviously what we always have to evaluate too is the risk to public safety.
Sure.
So typically diversion is not the serious or violent felonies. It's a lot of the misdemeanors and then the low level felonies, you know, the kid who keeps stealing his mom's car, cases like that. Trying to adjust the behavior before they get a criminal record. And then, like I say, too, a lot of times once we file the case, then it's the defense attorney who comes to us and says, hey, listen, you know, I've looked into this. We believe these services would be appropriate. Would you consider, you know, sort of putting this out 6 months? Let's see if they follow through, do everything they're supposed to do, and then the charges could be dismissed. So we look at, you know, sort of at different stages that process. And then there's also now more diversion that's codified. You know, we have it in the penal code and other codes to sort of try to do that as well. But again, we always go back to, is this something that's appropriate in this case, or are we putting the public at risk?
Right, but does support this concept formally, which I guess that's nice progress. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:40.
Hey folks, flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, this concept of theme or thematic courts, traffic court, you know, I guess the old night court on the TV show with Marky Post just dying earlier this week, kind of brought that back to a forethought. You've got family court. The concept of veterans court makes sense because there are special issues and special or unique challenges that are just within those subpopulations. Is this an ongoing trend, or do you have other types of courts that you'd like to see that might also help to divert and help folks out and not put the community at risk?
Right. You know, we've always had various, you know, you think about drug court. We used to have mental health court, which was really great. Sadly, it was one of those grant-funded courts that once the money ran out, we no longer had it, although I think it would be very appropriate to return to that. And part of it is the assistance that people receive, you know, so they really do have people who are more, you know, to them, you know, following up with them, making sure they're on the track they need. But then it's also the group, you know, because you're in a room, you know, like Veterans Court is an excellent example. You're in a room of other veterans, other people who have the similar struggles that you're going through. And so there's that camaraderie, you know, it's that, hey, you did that. You hit that mark you've been trying for. You know, we were hoping you would go 3 weeks sober. Good for you. And that's what's so important about those courts and why I think they work so well. And
almost like peer, almost like group counseling in a weird way. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, group support. That's right. So I'm hoping we can see more of those. There's no reason not to. And frankly, it's, you know, I think when people think of court, it sounds really expensive. It's really a calendar every couple of weeks. And that's when they come to court, you know. So if you did it 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon and it's just those individuals, it's just a different feel to it. And it's really, really helpful.
And it's still formalized.
Yes.
So that there is that the consequences if something doesn't happen.
That's right. That's right.
Are a lot of areas, a lot of counties throughout the state or other states also taking advantage of this approach?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So are we behind the eight ball or kind of pacing the way everybody else is?
I think we were a little less. We have fewer of those in part our population, right? Because, I mean, San Diego, their veterans court.
Oh,
is,
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a full court, but it also makes sense there, right? And so, you know, that's sort of the issue we always see is this something we can... Can we do this given the fact that we may have fewer participants? And that's why I say a calendar, I think, is really, you know, how we should look at it. We could do multiple of these calendars on Friday afternoons, have the judges run them, and I think really, really take care of a segment of what we see in the criminal process that shouldn't be there.
It sounds like the way to go. Is there a pushback because it's different?
No, I think it's always the same, Brian, that you have to have the services. You actually have to have a, you know, sort of like I was saying with the tribal court diversion, it's taken us a long time because they really are being asked to take on, you know, services, and they want to make sure they have all of that in place before they say, sure, send us some folks, right? Because if we're saying, you know, oh, these are people who have drug abuse issues and they're homeless, they want to then say, okay, you know, we're going to have these programs for them to attend, we're going to help them with housing. So you sort of have to have all that in place before you start referring people for these programs.
Well, there certainly are a lot of veteran services and veterans housing.
Right.
Now, whether there's enough or not, that's a different element. So I would think that would be the next one for consideration.
Right, right.
Well, we'll find out. That's kind of cool stuff.
It is. It is.
And it's also cool that I got half a red tape right. So, you know, it's been a red letter day.
Ooh, there's one we'll talk about next time.
All right. I thought I'd tee that one up. Thanks for coming by, Maggie.
Thank you, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.